Good morning. Let's pray. Father, we look to you to teach us this morning, for you are the source of truth. Open our minds to receive what you want to impress upon us today. May I speak your truth, and may we be obedient to apply your truth to our lives. Amen. Do you recognize any of these titles? Endless Love. Diana Ross and Lionel Richie? Are these too old? How Deep Is Your Love? Bee Gees? 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover. Paul Simon, that's right. I Will Always Love You. Whitney Houston. I Can't Stop Loving You. Ray Charles. These are from Billboard's top 50 love songs of all time. Did you know that most songs are about love? A study on the psychology of music found that 67% of lyrics in every song every decade since the 1960s were somehow about love. Let's look at a few more titles. These are not song titles. Do you recognize any of these? Song of Myself. This goes way back. Walt Whitman. A Red, Red Rose. Robert Burns. Ode to a Nightingale, John Keats. How Do I Love Thee, Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Each of these poems, as the songs I mentioned, is about love. This is just a small sampling of the kind of music we listen to or the kind of literature we read almost every day. So why is love such a big deal? To answer this question, let's start with a somewhat generic definition of love. Here is how the website verywellmind.com defines love. Love is a set of emotions and behaviors characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. It involves care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. Let me say that again. Love is a set of emotions and behaviors characterized by intimacy, passion, and commitment. It involves care, closeness, protectiveness, attraction, affection, and trust. Christ followers recognize that their leader puts a premium on love. But this love involves much more than the love as defined above. Listen to what Jesus says to his disciples. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. All who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. Anyone who doesn't love me will not obey me. John 14:21, 23, and 24. We need to turn to the Bible to understand the kind of love Jesus was referring to. This is a love that David Sanford calls the chief fruit of the Holy Spirit at work in and through our lives. Also, the greatest virtue. Here is how the Apostle Paul characterizes love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. Paul ends this description of love by saying, three things will last forever: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. 1 Corinthians 13, 13. So far, we've seen that love is a big deal. Most songs we listen to are about love. Much of the best poetry written is about love. Love is a dominant theme in many books we read. The same can be said about movies we watch. We could say that love is never very far from our thoughts. But why? Why is love such a big deal? We need to go to the Bible for the answer. And the Bible gives us three reasons love is such a big deal. The first reason love is such a big deal is that God is love. Turn with me to 1 John 4, 7, and 8. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Now skip down in the same letter, same chapter, to the middle of verse 16. God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. These passages make clear that love and God are intimately connected. Love is intrinsic to God's nature. Firstly, love comes from God. That is, God is the source of love, the wellspring of love. Secondly, one does not, we might say cannot, know God if one does not love. We cannot separate love from God, nor can we separate God from love. We need to stop here for a minute. When I say God is love, when we say God is love, we are not saying that love is God. That is, we are not saying that any manifestation of love is God. What God is love means is this. Love defines the very core of God's being. We might say that love permeates God's thoughts and actions. The website Copilot puts it this way. God's love is unconditional, not based on our actions, and it reflects His nature as the most self-sacrificial being in the universe. So when we say God is love, we recognize that love is central to who He is, and it cannot be compelled or predetermined. What I've just said may be a little hard to follow, so I'll try to make this truth clearer by going back to something familiar to all of us. Let's look again at 1 Corinthians 13. Remember that this is how the Apostle Paul characterizes love. Listen as I substitute God for love in verses 4 through 7. God is patient and kind. God is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. God does not demand His own way. God is not irritable, and He keeps no record of being wrong. God does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. God never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. I hope that making this change in no way twists or distorts the true meaning of these verses. So love is a big deal. Our culture is saturated with references to love. Love takes up a large portion of our thought life and our dreams. Love plays a big role in our day-to-day lives. We've discovered that one reason love is such a big deal is that God is love. But this isn't the only reason love is such a big deal. The second reason love is a big deal is that God loves us. Again, I am reading from the New Living Translation. For this is how God loved the world. He gave His one and only Son so that everyone who believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16. Probably most of us, if not all of us, have memorized this in the King James Version. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8. Says, but God showed His great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. When we return to 1 John 4, we read in verses 9 and 10 that God showed how much He loved us by sending His one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through Him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. God loves us. How do we know this? We know that God loves us because he did the utterly unthinkable. He took the punishment we deserve on himself and died a shameful death. This is how the Apostle Paul describes what Jesus did for us. He humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Philippians 2:8. Romans 5:7 and 8 says, "Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners." We all are sinners. Because we are sinners, we have been cut off from God. The Apostle Paul, in his letter to the Romans, tells us that on our own, we cannot be made right with God. Romans 4:14 and 15 says, "If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. No matter how hard we try, we cannot follow the law perfectly. On our own, it is impossible for us to pay for our sins and be made right with God. We are doomed. But thanks be to God, because of his great love for us, we have hope. Beyond pain, the staggering price to make us right with him, God demonstrates his love for us by adopting us into his own family. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are his children, we are his heirs. Romans 8:15-17. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. For his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Romans 8:16. See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. 1 John 3:1. So we see that in addition to paying the astounding price for our sin, God demonstrates his love for us by adopting us into his family. In addition to the undeniable fact of God's love for us, is the character of this love. This love is unfailing. This love is so great, it defies description. And this love never stops. The psalmist David says, "The Lord is compassionate and merciful, slow to get angry, and filled with unfailing love." Psalm 103:8. Furthermore, his unfailing love towards those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. Psalm 103:11. Finally, the love of the Lord remains forever with those who fear him. Psalm 103:17. We've acknowledged that love is a big deal. And I've given you two reasons that love is a big deal. The first reason is that God is love. The second reason is that God loves us. The third reason that love is such a big deal is that nothing can separate us from God's love. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Romans 8:38 and 39. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. "And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Nothing. Ever." Paul makes his position crystal clear from the get-go. His statement leaves no room whatsoever for anything to block God's love. His position is absolute. Nothing. Ever. But God doesn't stop there. But Paul doesn't stop there. He speaks about the biggest threat first and declares that death can't get in the way of God's love. Death is the great separator. If there's anything you'd think could separate us from God's love, it would be death, wouldn't it? But Paul knows all about Jesus and his confrontations with death. And God's love won through every single time. The time during a funeral procession when Jesus told the dead young man to get up, and the dead boy sat up and began to talk. The time Jesus raised Jairus' 12-year-old daughter from the dead. The time when Jesus called Lazarus out of his grave after he'd been dead for more than 4 days. And of course, the time after Jesus himself had been brutally killed but had risen from the dead. So, death can't separate us from God's love. But what about life? Life certainly can get in the way of much we hold dear. Everyday life can distract us. And the place and time in which we live can get in the way. Think of what the Jews had to put up with during the Roman occupation. What countless numbers of people have had to deal with, from dictators, kings, rulers, in the past as well as in many places in the world today. Paul himself had to deal with these life issues. And so do we. Next, Paul states that neither angels nor demons can separate us from God's love. Again, Paul knew of the many times Jesus confronted and cast out demons during his ministry. And then Paul speaks of something common to all of us, our fears for today and our worries about tomorrow. He counsels the church in Philippi about these issues in a letter to them. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. With this counsel, Paul is telling the church that if they follow this advice, their fears and worries will not be able to separate them from God's love. Then Paul makes an astounding claim. Not even the powers in hell can separate us from God's love. If anyone or anything besides death could separate us from God's love, you'd think it would be the powers in hell. However, as people who have been adopted into God's family, we are under the protection of our Father, and there is no one and no power in the sky above or the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we now return to our original question. Why is love such a big deal? The Bible gives us three reasons love is such a big deal. Reason number one, love is such a big deal because God is love. Reason number two, love is such a big deal because God loves us. And reason number three, love is such a big deal because nothing can separate us from God's love. Now, let's make this personal. I want you to repeat each of these truths after me. But when we come to numbers 2 and 3, substitute your name for the word us. Let me show you. God loves me, David Lushania. And for number 3, I will say, nothing can separate me, David Lushania, from God's love. But each of you insert your own name. Got it? Okay, speak out, starting with number 1, all together now. God is love. Now, number two, God loves me. Now, number three, nothing can separate me from God's love. Good. This is your assignment. You didn't think this would happen, did you? Every morning this week, when you wake up, the first thing before anything else, say out loud each of these three wonderful truths, substituting the word us in numbers 2 and 3 with your own name. What better way to start your day than to proclaim God's love? Please rise for the benediction. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you his favor and give you his peace. Amen.